this week on Hope for the Broken.
Life is a spiritual battlefield. And there is a force at work in this world that does not want you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this force certainly does not want you to reflect God's love and God's mercy this week. This force wants you to live discouraged and defeated each and every day. What's the answer to standing strong against this force of evil activity? Paul says it's the armor of God.
Welcome to Hope for the Broken, the audio podcast ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We exist to become a gospel-centered community redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. At Trinity, we believe we are all broken and in need of the redeeming hope found in Jesus. This week, we continue our two-part sermon series called Spiritual Warfare. Here's our pastor, Tim Watson, with part two entitled Spiritual Body Armor.
In 1966, a chemist, a lady by the name of Stephanie Kowalik, a research chemist from the DuPont Corporation, she invented a synthetic material called Kevlar. Kevlar is five times stronger than the same weight of steel. Kevlar does not corrode, it does not rust, it's extremely lightweight, and Kevlar compounds have been used in things like brake linings. It's been used in underwater cables. It's used in a lot of construction materials, but probably the most popular use of this compound of Kevlar is body armor, bulletproof vest that is used by our police officers and our United States military. When a bullet strikes body armor, the bullet is caught in a web of strong fibers. And these fibers absorb and they disperse the impact energy that is transmitted to that vest from the bullet. And the Kevlar causes that bullet to deform or to mushroom. Additional energy is absorbed by each successive layer of material in the vest until that Kevlar stops the bullet. Police officers, military personnel owe their lives to a research chemist, a lady by the name of Stephanie Kowalik, for developing the material called Kevlar that is used in our bulletproof vest and our body armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul reminds us that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a spiritual battle, and our enemy is Satan, and he is firing spiritual bullets, fiery darts, flaming missiles at us every day. And the only way that we can be victorious in this spiritual warfare is that every day before we walk out the door, we have to put on our spiritual body armor. We have to put on our spiritual Kevlar. And the good news is, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have something stronger than Kevlar. We have what the Bible calls the armor of God. Would you look in your Bible this morning to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And we're going to be talking this morning about spiritual body armor. We need to be reminded of a couple of things this morning. First of all, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare against the greatest war strategist of all time, and his name is Satan. But the Lord Jesus Christ has equipped us and given us spiritual tools that we need to be victorious in this battle. Last Sunday morning, we quoted John chapter 10, verse 10, where the Bible says, and this is Jesus, he says, "Remember, the thief, the devil, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." In other words, the purpose of the devil, the modus operandi of our enemy, is to steal, to kill, to destroy anything that is precious to the heart of God. And it looks as if Satan is doing a pretty good job of destroying as much as he can, because you see, he knows he's on his way out. Amen. He knows he's on his way out, and he's kicking and he's thrashing. Last Sunday morning, we looked at one of the greatest offensive weapons we have for waging spiritual battles. If you were here last Sunday, we looked here at this sixth chapter of Ephesians, and we looked at one of the offensive weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Well, this morning, we're going to unpack the defensive weapons that God has given us in this spiritual warfare. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about spiritual body armor. The context is the great Apostle Paul, somewhere between 65 and 68 A.D., he's sitting in a Roman prison cell for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. His preaching the gospel was a threat to the Roman government. He's sitting there day after day, hour after hour, imprisoned. Some Bible commentators have even speculated that Paul may have even been chained for several hours a day to a Roman guard. And so as he sits in that jail cell, he observes firsthand the equipment, the uniform the Roman soldiers were given to fight against their enemies. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20, he begins to describe in detail the Roman armor that each soldier is given to fight his enemy. And he draws a parallel with the spiritual armor that God has given each of us as children of God. Look in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground." And after you have done everything, Paul says, stand. It's interesting to note in these 10 verses, verses 10 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 6, four times the word stand is used in these 10 verses. For example, in verse 11, Paul says, stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 13, he says what? Stand your ground. He also says in verse 13, he says, after you have done everything, do what? He says, continue to stand. And then into verse 14, he says, stand firm. So evidently, that is a very important word. That word stand that Paul uses here, that little phrase stand, literally means hold your ground. It means hold your position. Hold your ground. Hold your position. You're standing in spiritual battle. You're opposing your enemy with your spiritual body armor. You're not running. You're not retreating. You're standing firm with the armor of God. You're not moving. You're on solid footing. I think of that old gospel hymn, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And so Paul instructs the Ephesian believers. He says, put on that spiritual body armor and you stand and you will have what you need in spiritual warfare. Now let's continue to read in verses 10, 11, and 12 in this sixth chapter. Paul says, finally, this is in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Remember, we're up against a great war strategist. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But what he says here is interesting. Our struggle is against rulers, authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What we said last Sunday is that many Bible commentators believe that when Paul lists these things in verse 12, when he talks about rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, when he talks about spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm, Paul is referring to four different levels of demonic activity that Satan uses to carry out his plan and his purposes in this world. You do understand that Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere all at the same time. He's not God, but he sure can use his demons. You know, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven as well. So in other words, he assigns different demons, different devils to carry out his plans and his schemes. We are engaged in a spiritual battle, and without the armor of God, we are easy targets for the enemy. There is more going on this morning, ladies and gentlemen, than meets the human eye. Paul says there is an unseen world that exists around us. Spiritual activity is taking place this morning, says the Apostle Paul, that we cannot see and touch and feel. You may be thinking, Tim, when you're talking about warfare, spiritual battle, spiritual activity, what are you talking about? Well, let me bring it down to a level where many of us live. Every time you are presented with the opportunity to entertain a lustful thought, you have entered a spiritual battlefield. Every time you have the chance to do something vindictive and get back at someone who has wronged you, you're on the battlefield. Every time you have the chance to say something harsh and hurtful, you're in the midst of the battle. Every time you toy with the idea that maybe you're just a little bit better than some of the people around you, you're surrounded by enemy fire. Every time you encounter a person with a need and you have the ability to help that person and you say no to the Holy Spirit, friend, you have entered into combat. Life is a spiritual battlefield. And there is a force at work in this world that does not want you to do good. There is a force at work that does not want you to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this force certainly does not want you to reflect God's love and God's mercy this week. This force wants you to live discouraged and defeated each and every day. So what's the answer? What's the answer to standing strong against this force of evil activity? Paul says it's the armor of God. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to how he describes specifically the armor that we're to take on, beginning at verse 13 of Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, he says what? Stand firm. He says, first of all, put on the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, put on the breastplate of righteousness, have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, he says what? Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows. Some of your translations say the fiery darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit that we talked about last week, which is the Word of God. At the time of this writing, Paul is in prison, quite possibly chained to this Roman soldier. So when he began to think of spiritual warfare, he looked at the soldier's armor and the equipment that he had to protect himself in battle, and he understood that God has equipped every believer. Listen, he has equipped every one of us as Christ followers with spiritual body armor to protect ourselves in battle. And so each item in the spiritual body armor, each item on this list, it parallels a behavior. Let me say that again. Every item that he lists in the spiritual body armor, it parallels a behavior. Something that we are to do, an action that we are to take to experience victory in these battles. So the emphasis is not just on what it symbolizes. The emphasis is on the behavior Paul is challenging us to model. The emphasis is on the behavior Paul is challenging us to emulate in our daily lives. So let's take a closer look. So in our spiritual body armor, this is what he says first of all in verse 14. He says, first of all, we are to wear the belt of truth. Look in verse 14 in your Bible. In the New International Version, it says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The New American Standard Bible says, gird your loins with truth. Now, the belt was the first piece of armor that the soldier put on. The Jews of New Testament times believed the waist was the center of a person's strength and power. If you talk to fitness experts, they tell us if you want to be healthy and you want to be strong, you need to work your core muscles, muscles that start with your abdominal muscles and they run from your neck to your lower back. And the Jews believed the waist area was the center of a person's power and strength. And so as the belt encircled the waist of the Roman soldier, and as that belt held everything in place, Paul tells us that we are to make sure that our lives are encircled with the belt of God's truth. He says we are to make sure that we live surrounded by God's truth, because listen, we live in a culture, we live in a society, we live in a world around us that's full of lies, constantly disguising itself as truth. Jesus said in John 8:44, Jesus said, Satan is the father of lies and he cannot speak the truth. Now, another way to understand the importance of wearing the belt of truth is that every day we need to intentionally strive to be a person of truthfulness in every situation. Another way to look at wearing the belt of truth is we make a commitment every day to speak and live the truth. Someone has said, you know, when you always tell the truth, you don't have to have a great memory. And isn't that great as you get older? If you tell the truth, you don't have to have a great memory. Paul is talking about behavior. He's talking about truthful living, truthful speaking. And when you make a commitment every day to speak the truth and live the truth, there's freedom, there's liberty in our lives when you tell the truth. You don't have to have a great memory. Story is told of a mother who was invited to dinner at her son's apartment. He said, I want you to meet my new roommate. And the mother went to her son's apartment, and to her amazement, her son's roommate was a very attractive young lady. And the mother was very uncomfortable with this living arrangement. And the son instinctively knew what his mother was thinking. He's like, Mother, we're just roommates, we're just friends. But all throughout the dinner, he noticed she was looking at him, he was looking at her, and she was very attractive. And he just kept saying, Mother, don't worry about it. We're just roommates. Well, a couple of days after the dinner, the attractive young lady said to the young man, she said, ever since your mother came, this silver dish that we use for serving, it's been missing. You don't think your mother accidentally took that silver dish home, do you? He said, well, I don't think so, but I'll text her. So he texted his mother, and he said, Dear Mother, we were glad to have you over for dinner. I'm not saying you did take our silver dish. I'm not saying you did not take our silver dish. But the fact remains, after you came to dinner, we can't find the silver dish. Love, your son. Well, the mother texted back a few minutes later, and she said, Thank you, son. Enjoy the dinner. I'm not saying you do sleep with your roommate. I'm not saying you don't sleep with your roommate. But the fact remains, if your roommate was sleeping in her bed, she would have found the silver dish because it's under her pillow. What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and what? The truth will do what? It'll set you free. So you see, when you tell the truth, you don't have to have a great memory. Paul instructs us to have the belt of truth buckled around our waist. He's calling us to live truthful lives. So in the spiritual body armor, have the belt of truth. And then he says, secondly, wear the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. Look at Ephesians 6:14. Stand firm, belt of truth buckled around your waist. Make sure you're living the truth. He says, and then take on the breastplate of righteousness in verse 14. Now, the role of the breastplate was to serve as a bulletproof vest for the Roman soldier. Let me tell you, if Kevlar had been invented during Roman times, believe me, the Roman soldiers would have been wearing it. The Romans were some of the most technologically advanced society. I mean, they had great engineers. They would have developed Kevlar. And the Kevlar, the breastplate, was there to protect what? The heart, the lungs, the lower abdomen. In this context, Paul says every day, as a believer, put on the breastplate that is made of righteousness, goodness, and purity. Now, here's a question. Ponder this just for a moment. How do we, as sinful, imperfect people, get a breastplate of righteousness? The good news is we receive our breastplate of righteousness the moment we place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ gives us His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made Him who knew no sin to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, here's some good news today. When God looks at us through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, instead of seeing us as imperfect, sinful people, aren't you thankful this morning? God looks at us and He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. He looks at us through the lens of the purity of His Son, Jesus. He sees the goodness of Jesus in us. And I say, amen. Man, that's shouting ground today. The righteousness of Jesus is our breastplate, our spiritual body armor. And if we wear that breastplate of righteousness, it protects our hearts from being shot with bullets of jealousy, bullets of lying, bullets of stealing, bullets of anger. When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're guarding, we're protecting our hearts from the enemy's fire. Proverbs 4:23 says this, watch over your heart. The writer of Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence, for from your heart flows the springs of life. In our spiritual body armor, we've got the belt of truth. We got the breastplate of righteousness. Thirdly, we are to have feet that are ready to move on God's opportunities. Feet that are ready to move on God's opportunities. Look at verse 15. In Ephesians 6:15, Paul says, in the spiritual body armor, he says, be ready with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, how beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news. Several years ago, there was an intellectually stimulating television show called The Beverly Hillbillies. And if you're old enough to remember the Beverly Hillbillies, there was a closing credit, and they sang a song about having us back next week for a heaping helping of our own hospitality. And they would conclude that song with saying, sit down a spell. Remember the words? Take your shoes off. Y'all come back now here. And the whole idea of the song of the Beverly Hillbillies was relax. Make yourself at home. Take it easy. Do nothing for a while. Well, in verse 15, Paul is saying just the opposite. It's what we call a contrast. He's telling us as believers, no, listen, you keep your shoes on. As a believer in Jesus Christ, get busy. Remember, he's talking about our behavior. He's saying, be ready to go, be ready to move, be ready to work, be ready to serve. Be ready to move on God's opportunities. In other words, when God places opportunities before us, we don't need to sit around with our shoes off and do nothing. No, when God says, you help that homeless person, you do it. When God says, I'm opening a door for you to share the gospel this week, you go through that door and you share your story. When God gives you the opportunity to be involved in a ministry area in our church, you move into that ministry area. When you need to be involved in a local mission project, when you need to go on a mission trip and God taps you on the shoulder and says, I need you to go on that mission trip. We are to have feet that are ready to move on God's opportunities. In our spiritual body armor, he says, then we are to take up the shield of faith. Verse 16, in addition to all of this, Paul says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles all the flaming arrows, all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, many of you know that the Roman soldiers had two kinds of shields, one small shield for hand-to-hand combat, and then they had the large shield. This is 4.5 feet tall by 2 feet wide. This was for use when the army was advancing. Each soldier would stand side by side holding up his shield, and the enemy would be faced with a solid wall of shields, row after row after row. And this made the Roman army unstoppable when all these shields were coming toward them. You see, that's what maturing faith in Christ does. That's what growing faith in Christ does for you and me. It makes us hard to stop when we're marching side by side with fellow believers in Christ. And notice how Paul in verse 16 refers to the fiery darts, the flaming arrows of the evil one. We talked about this last week. Rome's enemies, they would take their arrows and they would dip them in a flammable liquid, and then they would shoot those arrows into the air. And with their shields, sometimes covered in hide, sometimes covered in leather, those shields were able to extinguish the fiery darts, the flaming missiles, the flaming arrows of the enemy. Think about it. Every day, Satan is launching his darts, his arrows, his flaming missiles at you and me. Today, we're going to be tempted to gossip and to say unkind words and maybe to have an uncontrollable tongue, to think thoughts that we ought not think, to maybe continue in a lifestyle of addiction, of alcohol, drugs, or pornography, spiritual laziness. We don't pray. We're not reading the Word. We're not serving. We're not trusting God with our finances. Satan is constantly firing darts at us, but with the shield of faith, faith in Christ, you put in action every day, this will help you overcome anything the enemy throws your way. And then we are to wear the helmet of salvation. Look at verse 17. He says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith and then put on the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? The helmet of salvation protects the head. The helmet covers the head. The head is the center of our mind, our thoughts, our attitudes. Think about how Satan is always tampering with our minds. I always say it's a battle for the mind. Satan is always trying to sow the seeds of doubt, trying to get us to doubt God's love and God's acceptance of us. Our helmet, rooted in His great salvation, rooted in His Word, keeps Satan from striking a disastrous blow. The Scripture tells us we are loved and we are accepted. So Paul would say, listen, whatever you do, don't take your helmet off. Keep your helmet on. His salvation guards our minds, our thoughts, and our attitudes. And then in verse 17, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Last Sunday, the entire message was on the importance of studying, meditating, internalizing God's Word. We talked about the reliability of the Bible and how God's Word is an offensive weapon in our arsenal. It's for attacking. And then in our spiritual body armor, the second offensive weapon is prayer. Our greatest spiritual weapon, in addition to the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, is prayer. Our greatest weapon in spiritual warfare, in addition to the Word of God, is prayer. Look at verse 18. Look at what he says in verse 18. Paul says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and all kinds of requests. With this in mind, Paul says, be alert and keep on praying for all the saints. Keep on praying for other believers. Now, Paul's strategy of prayer is very simple. You know what he's saying here in this verse? Pray for everything. And pray for everyone. Pray for everything. Pray for everyone. Pray on all occasions. Lift up prayers and requests, not only for yourself, but for other believers. Pray. So my challenge to you this morning is that you would make prayer your first resort, and not your last resort. Don't use prayer like a spare tire when you have a blowout. You say, oh, Lord, I'm in a fix. Now I need to call on you. Have prayer as your first resort and not your last resort this week. Before you do anything, pray. When you get up tomorrow morning, before you interact with your family, pray just a quick prayer. God, would you help me, help my family get off to a great start? When you walk into your workplace tomorrow morning, would you pray a quick prayer? God, help me do your work today for your glory. God, would you help me to treat my coworkers with dignity and respect? Before you make a phone call, before you speak to one customer or client, before you go to a meeting, Paul would say, pray. If you're stuck in traffic, pray. You say, well, we're in Mount Pleasant. Well, you know, some of the lights in Mount Pleasant, I don't know if you know, they're like, you'll sit for 30 minutes at a light in Mount Pleasant. I don't know what's up with that. But even if you're sitting at a long light in Mount Pleasant, Paul would say, take the time to pray, but pray with your eyes open. In every event, throughout your day, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Pray.
You've been listening to Trinity Baptist Church's Hope for the Broken podcast. We pray that today's message encouraged and challenged you in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit us at trinitytx.org or reach out to us at 903-572-1959, or you can email us at info@trinitytx.org. If you're ever in the East Texas area, join us for worship on Sundays at 9:30 or 11 a.m. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week on Hope for the Broken.